welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight, I have Jenny Mart on the show. Jenny writes, as I find out, a wide variety of things. She's a USA Today bestselling author, and she loves to make readers laugh as she weaves stories filled with love, friendship, and intrigue. She writes for Entangled Publishing, and reviewers call her book laugh out loud funny and full of great characters that are endearing and relatable. She's living her own happily ever after in the mountains of Colorado with her husband, two sons, two dogs, and a parakeet that loves to tweet to the oldies. That's funny. She's addicted to Diet Coke, adores Cheetos, and believes that you can't have too many books, shoes, or friends. Her books include the contemporary Western romance Hearts of Montana series, the romantic comedy Cozy Mysteries of the Page Turner series, and the hunky men of the Bannister family in the Bannister Brothers books, as well as the small town romantic comedies of the Love Struck series of Cotton Creek Romances. She loves to hear from her readers, so you can follow her on Facebook at Jenny Martz Books. On Twitter, she's at Jenny Martz, and her website is jennymartz.com. Welcome to the show, Jenny. I'm very happy to have you on tonight.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So, yeah, you have a huge, we were just talking before the show started that you have this huge variety. And I knew about the hockey players, and I knew about the latest ones from Love Struck, but I didn't know about the Cozy Mystery. So I was kind of really excited to see that. So, But how did, you know, when you first started writing, were you a specific genre writer, or were you just kind of writing all over the place?
Well, all of my books kind of have a common thread of friendship. So there's, like, usually a side character of women friendships in there. The romance is in there. I like to throw a little bit of mystery or suspense into some of my books. And almost all of my books have a dog in them. So they do kind of, a lot of them have like small town charm, or they're written, set in small towns. And so a lot of them kind of have that same humorous kind of romantic comedy feel to them.
This is like the best books to read, you know, well, especially like after something really deep. You're like, oh, my God, I need something that's going to be just not this
well,
deep.
I like
or
to
not
write what I like to read.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I like books that make you laugh and books that make you sometimes get a little teared up. And I like books that kind of make you think and wonder, you know, who did it or what's going to happen next. And so that's what I like to write, is what I like to read.
And with writing comedies, you probably have gotten really good with dialogue, because that's such, you know, in comedies, it just the back and forth that really kind of amplifies the comedic aspect of writing. So I have trouble with dialogue as a beginning writer. So when I have people spar off, sometimes I have to think, sit back and actually have that conversation in my head to figure out who's saying what at what time to make it witty enough, you know, but which, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of writers do that, but how do you go about dialogue? Because that's really important with comedic, especially romantic comedies, because it's all about relationships anyway. So,
I think for me, when I am writing, I see it like it's a movie in my head, and so I'm kind of like just imagining these people, and I don't know, they just sort of talk to each other. I don't know.
So you're like a bystander on the conversation.
Yeah. It just kind of rolls out. I don't do a lot of, although sometimes I'll come up with something and then I'll go back earlier to kind of feed in the line that's going to bring that up, or the funny part that's going to bring that up. And I like the kind of humor that, like, something will happen in one part of the book and then, you know, five chapters later, something will reference back to it. Or two or three books later, something will reference back. So if you've been following the series, something will reference back and you'll be like, oh, I totally remember that part. For instance, like in my second Page Turner's book, they do cosplay, and the Page Turners are a book club, a multi-generational book club. So there's an 82-year-old woman and then there's like three early 30s women, and then there's a 17-year-old, and they go undercover at Comic-Con. So they dress up and they go undercover under Comic-Con to try to fight this guy. And then later they meet this guy in a hotel, and, you know, they're dressed. She's one of the gals is dressed like Laura from Tomb Raider. So then in the newest book, several books later, she meets that guy in the hotel again. And he's like, yeah, I remember you. Aren't you kind of in a role play or whatever? So I love kind of putting something in there where readers who are fans of the series will be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And like it happened to them.
Yeah, that's like special gifts to your reader. I like that. So let's go back to writing and how you got into writing. Was this like were you always wanted to be a writer? Were you a writer at a young age? How did it all come out for you?
So I have always wanted to be a writer. I've always been a voracious reader, and I've always written stories, and I wrote my first mystery in fifth grade and had a friend who's, I don't know, dad was a publisher or something. And so I was a huge Nancy Drew fan and always kind of knew that and knew it in my heart. And then I went to college and got married and had kids and, you know, life happened. And about the time that my kids were getting ready to head off to college and I turned 40, I kind of did this look back at my life and thought, you know, what have I always wanted to do? What have I, you know, I work at a bank. I've worked at a bank for 20 years part-time and raised my kids and had all of my focus there. And what's my passion? And I always wanted to write a book. And so I just picked up a notebook and said, okay, well, what are you waiting for? Do it. And started writing and took some, Janet Ivanovich is one of my favorite writers, and I followed some of her stuff on her website, and she told me to, well, she didn't tell me, she suggested on her website to find an RWA group, which is Romance Writers of America, and there happened to be a chapter in my town. So I linked up with a bunch of other writers, I went to writers' conferences, I took classes, and I wrote out that first book longhand in a notebook. And it's actually like, it's such the book of my heart. I just love that book so much. And basically I just decided I'm going for this, and I queried it and got requests for it. And then I realized all the terrible stuff that I did in it after I learned.
Right.
I learned about the craft of writing and then went back and changed a lot of that and kind of rewrote it. And it's just kind of gone from there. So it's been the greatest gift and such I've just followed my passion. Every piece of it has been a dream come true. So it's been over the last six or seven years that I've been really gung-ho. And at this point, I write full-time.
That's awesome. Did you, first book, The Book of Your Heart, did it get sold?
Yeah, it's another Saturday night and I ain't got nobody. It's the first book in the Paige Turner series.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's a happily ever after story. I like that.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations then on your success. That's not everybody has that much perseverance, you know, where they keep at it and persevere over their slow self-image. Because it is a solitary thing, and you know, you write and especially when it's the book of your heart, you think it's wonderful no matter what, and then it comes out and everybody goes, well, there's this, and then you see it, but you don't want to ever admit it because it's just horrible. But totally understand.
Well, and that book came up at the very end of 2012, so my first book was basically published in 2013, so it's been 13, 14, 15. So I see people now who say, oh, hey, you're still writing that one book? And I get to say, yes, I've had 12 published since then. I'm writing my 13th.
That's really awesome. So tell us a little bit. Well, you said you were an avid reader as well. So what were some of the things that you read as a child or, you know, as a teenager that kind of maybe got you on this romance and mystery kick?
Oh, as a teenager, I thought you were going to ask me what I read this year. Yes. Oh, I love Nancy Drew. I read every Nancy Drew book there was. I collected them. You know what? I was a huge Stephen King fan for a long time. Stephen King is just, you know, whether you like horror or not, his writing is so descriptive and you feel like you're right there. You know, he doesn't just say she grabbed a bag of chips. You know, he's got she grabbed a bag of Frito-Lay, you know, Cheetos with the orange dust on her fingers. You know, he just describes everything so far down to the detail. So I love Stephen King. I have been a huge Nora Roberts fan for a long time. So I used to read just romantic suspense. I liked romance as long as there was a mystery in it, and now I'm more into. And Janet Ivanovich is still my most favorite author.
Oh, yeah.
But I also love Harry Potter.
Yeah, hers are perfect because they're that mixture of the two, but they're still not heavy and dark and, you know. I don't know. I mean,
she's the one
like,
that my page turners get compared to the most.
Oh, well, that's a good comparison. So,
yeah, just that kind of light, funny, you know, light mystery, not anything too graphic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about your page turners series, then, since we're talking about that right now. So you said they're a book club, multi-generational.
Right. So it's a multi-generational book club. Search for clues and romance while eating really great desserts. So
oh,
there's
awesome.
A lot of food.
That's
the first
a good
book
thing.
Is the first book is called Another Saturday Night and I Ain't Got Nobody, and it's about an ordinary school teacher whose book club sets her up on, well, they fire her from managing her own love life and they set her up on 6 blind dates, and one of them might be with a murderer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then each subsequent book is about a different woman in the book club.
Oh, okay.
And so the 82-year-old woman, Edna, is she's just the kind of comedic sidekick, and she's kind of got a dirty mind, and she's really spunky, and she's always getting into trouble, and she loves watching CSI, and she kind of considers herself an amateur sleuth as it is. So then each book kind of follows a different woman and has a different mystery. So the second book is Maggie's story, and she's a recently divorced and thinks dating a video game designer is kind of a safe bet until he becomes a prime suspect in a murder.
Oh, God.
So, and then the third book, people kept asking me about Edna, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to do an Edna book, which is a little hard to do a geriatric romance.
Right.
So what I did is in the style of The Notebook, kind of all the romance and the sexy stuff happened the summer of 1955. So that book is about Edna, and it's an ordinary Monday. That book is called Just Another Maniac Monday. And an ordinary Monday, Edna opens up the door to find the love of her life standing there, a man that she thought died 60 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And so it goes back and forth between the summer of 1955 when she meets the love of her life, and you kind of get to see why she is like she is and who were some of her key influencers. And the a lot of the mystery happens back then, but kind of follows them to that one.
Uh-huh.
And then that story, you're introduced to Zoe, her granddaughter. And the newest book, Tangled Up in Tuesday, is Zoe's story. And she is a very organized, like accountant, and her life goes from managed to messy when she finds a dead body in her apartment on an ordinary Tuesday.
So, there you go.
And I follow the reader's whim a little bit because I ended up having this tiny side character in the first book, this cop called Officer Mac McCarthy, and readers kept saying, we love Mac. We want to hear more about Mac. And he showed up in the next book, and he showed up in the next book. And so by the fourth book, now he's the hero.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
So
everybody gets their day.
So I think we were talking a little bit earlier, too, about how they're kind of a slash between cozy mystery and this new terminology called soft-boiled.
Soft-boiled, yes.
Basically just means they're cozy mysteries, but they've got a little bit of, like a little naughty.
They're more on the romantic side,
Few little naughty bits to them, so they do have sex in them, but I would say my books are definitely PG-13.
Okay.
So
definitely for the older crowd.
Although I have teenagers that read them, and I've had moms say, my teenagers have certainly seen a lot worse, so.
Yeah, right. Doesn't everybody's teenagers these days? I mean,
yeah.
You can't go on anything on social media without having it in your face, so it's there.
yeah. I feel like they're pretty tame comparatively.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you're looking at a general demographic for your books that is reading the other side of that too. So the 50 Shades of Grey line of things. So yeah, I mean, they're finding it elsewhere. But yeah, I like a mystery. I love romantic suspense because I like the romance and the intrigue and the hot scenes and all that, but I like the suspense. And I like suspense books, but I can only, like, I can read one and then I got to lay off for a long time because they're usually too dark and it's not going to have,
right.
It doesn't always have a happy ending. And I'm just that girl that, I mean, my HEA, I really do, because life is just too dark to keep being dark all the time. So,
right.
I need some light over here. So I like to read a romantic suspense because, you know, you get kind of the best of both worlds. And then I was telling you earlier before the show started that I had just picked up a cozy mystery because it just sounded cute. And the name of the book, and I can't, it's Meow something something. And it's about this girl who's her family's a witch. Her family is a bunch of witches, but she's like not trying to be a witch, but she still like accidentally makes things happen because she's got powers and she doesn't want to use them, but she screws things up. Like, she changed one of her dates into a cat accidentally. So she carries this cat around with her everywhere because she can't figure out how to turn him back. But
so awesome.
Yeah, it's really cute. But there's this little mystery going on in this town, and she's got this little love connection going on with the new cop in town. But she's got these, you know, she's got a secret. She's got this cat that was one of the guys she was on a date with. And so it was really cute, and I got really into it, and I was thinking, this is really, you know, I could really like it. So then I picked up another cozy mystery that I, you know, somewhere it was like 99 cents or something. I was like, I'm going to try this. It's another cute title that, like, grabbed me. And now I'm like, okay, so if you want to throw some sex in there, I am all for that because that's like the perfect mesh of things I like to read now. That, you know, it's light, it's funny, it has some intrigue that keeps you interested, but it's not, at the end of the day, we're not doing Gone Girl. Because if
right.
I had to read books like that every day, I would be so psychotic. It's just, I can't even tell you. I would be, I'd
and
hide
I don't
my
have
room.
Any, yeah, they're not like, bloody, graphic, gory.
Right.
I mean, the mystery's pretty light.
Well, and that's the
but
good thing
I
about
like
cozy mysteries
is
they're not like that, you know? They tell
what
you
what
enough.
What I like about the book club is it's like you feel like you're part of it. And so I have a lot of people
right.
say, like, I feel like when I open one of your books, it's like I'm just sitting down with a bunch of my friends to have tea. You know, like I'm just coming back to be with my friends again. And I love that. And so.
Yeah, that's a really good compliment, too, because that means they are empathizing with you because they're stepping into their shoes. Actually, they're getting themselves in the story now, and that's what you want. I mean, as a writer, that's exactly what you want, is for people to actually jump inside your stories and live it. You know, that's great.
I actually created a couple of fans created a street team for me, and they're called the Page Turners, Jenny's Page Turners. So you can feel like you're part of the book club, and you can feel like you're part of the club. And so my street team is actually called the Page Turners.
That's cute and neat.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you have enough fans that start to do that over your one series of books is really great. So you've ventured out. You also write some contemporary romance.
Mm-hmm.
And you write about hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
Is hockey a something that you love personally?
I do. I was a hockey mom. My husband played hockey, and so really fun to see him play hockey as an adult too, and to coach the boys. And they played hockey from the time they were little. So,
mm-hmm.
like, I actually know about the game. So when I don't talk a ton about the game, but when I do talk about the game, I know, you know, what a hat trick is and penalty shots and all of that. I know what those are. So
I'm like that about baseball. Hockey is just one of those wow sports to me. But I'm in Texas, so you know, we don't have a lot of
right.
hockey going on here.
Colorado,
so.
We have And those books are actually, that series is kind of interesting. It's called The Bannister Brothers, and the first two are hockey players. The third one is a rock star, and the fourth one is a cute nerd who's actually going to date the girl is a hockey player.
Oh, what a twist. So I like that. That's
yeah, cool. There's five brothers, and so they're not all based on hockey, but they're all in the same family, and I like to have them all kind of show up. And so icing on the date is my kind of the hockey book, and then Worth the Shot is the novella, the companion novella. But they're both brothers are in there, and one is the hot hockey player meets the cute caterer and who's about to, you know, check him, or I don't know. He's about to get checked by Romeo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
So I had a lot of fun with those, and those people are just really having fun with those hockey books. So.
Yeah, well, and I think that the sports thing with women is when we love a sport, but maybe, you know, sports are still, it seemed like it's such a guy thing. But then we find a romance book that has our favorite sport in it. It's like, oh, I love it. Because I know I'm that way about baseball books. Anything about a baseball player, I'm like, I don't care if it sucks. Give it to me. I love it. You know, I'm all Bull Durham and the natural.
Yeah.
With the love of a game all over the place. But, you know, I think as a female, it's like you find people that identify with you, your love of a sport, and you're a female, then it's really awesome and you get hooked on it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and then that book has a little bit of Peyton Manning in it too, because I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan, and she doesn't really, the caterer doesn't, Gabby doesn't know anything really about hockey at all. She's a big Peyton Manning fan, so.
Oh, okay. So
he convinces
so
her to wear a Bannister jersey and come to a hockey game instead of, you know, to give up her Peyton Manning jersey.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Now I just need Peyton to kind of pick up my book and,
no kidding.
You know, talk about it and.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, promote for me. You're in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to miss Peyton Manning, aren't we? Oh, well, they don't make him like that. But hey, we got Osweiler down here now in Houston, so I'm kind of like, oh, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, we're a little bitter about old Brock, but it's all right.
Yeah. So so you like football too, then?
You know, that's been my husband and I since our kids went to college. We've kind of tried to find some empty nest things for us to do and things that he likes to do, not just what I like to do. And the Broncos have been kind of one of our things. So we watch every game together and try to kind of make it a date, and which basically means some kind of fun food. And I actually watch the game instead of reading a book. And, you know, I learn the players' names, and it's been kind of a really fun thing to do together, especially because the Broncos have done so well the last.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you can just call it research. I mean, you know, it's research in the name of love, so it's all good.
Yeah, there you go.
So you also have two other series. You have the Montana, Hearts of Montana.
The Hearts of Montana.
And tell me
Hot
just
Cowboys.
A little bit. Yeah, Hot Cowboys. Can't go wrong there.
So the Hearts of Montana are set in the small town of Broken Falls, Montana. And the first book in the series is called Tucked Away, and it's about a city girl, Charlie Ryan, who inherits a farm in small town Montana. And when she gets there, she finds a lonely teenage girl, a goat named Clyde, a super cute cowboy, and a place she can finally call home.
Oh, awesome.
And
well, I love how you set that up.
Yes. And in the course of that, so there's a little bit of intrigue in that. I love the small town setting. I love bringing in the funny people in the town. And in that book, she meets the sheriff, and she also meets Cherry, who runs the diner, and Cash is her ranch hand. And so the second book, which came out just in November, is called Hidden Away, and it's about Cherry, the gal that owns the diner. And it's a second chance romance with the sheriff in town, and she has a secret that could tear them apart. And I'm actually finishing up writing the third book right now. It comes out in October.
Awesome. So you're a busy lady. About how many books do you put out every year? So you put out, what, you've got 12? And
I've
it's been 3 years,
so
basically?
I've been doing 3 or 4 a year, so.
Wow.
That's what
I say.
Yeah,
you're definitely
writing
full-time
now. And I'm still at the bank, so.
Oh, my
still
goodness.
The job.
Oh, I see, and I can sit here and complain about not having time to write, so, gosh. Okay, you're a superhero. You're my superhero.
Oh, no. Anything else. And my kids have already gone to college. I was thinking, today I was making the bed, and I was like, remember when I used to have whole days when I could just sit on the sofa and read a book and watch a movie and clean something in my house? Those days were so fun. I'm trying to remember how fun those days were.
I don't even know what that's like. I have a 4-year-old, so yeah. Anyway, a 14-year-old with algebra, which we were just working on before I started the show. So algebra is the bane of my existence at the moment. Never used it since college, never will again. Sorry, I had to get that out. Okay.
That's all right. I'm not a huge math fan either. But my kids are both engineers and computer guys, so...
So
they
get through
that.
Suck or not.
Yeah. They passed my math skills when they were in eighth grade.
That's about how, she's in eighth grade. This is about how I'm feeling. I'm like, I don't remember this. You know, I did a purge after college. I was like, do I need this? No, it's out. It's gone. I'm going to kill those brain cells, you know, at the bar or whatever. I got it all out. Never thought about it again. Here I am having to dredge up stuff. I'm like, Googling it on the internet, figure out how to solve things with the quadratic formula, and like, what is that? I can't remember. So,
yeah. I can help with that.
So,
you can call back later and talk to my son.
Oh, gosh. So back to talking about your book. So you have Your Heart to Montana, and you have a new one coming out in that one soon. And then you have the ones that you have going with the Love Sweat. Is it Love Struck? It's Love Struck with Entangled.
Yep.
And your latest one there was the one about the Ranger, which was very cute. What's the title on that one?
That one is called Romancing the Ranger, and it just came out on Monday.
Okay. So that one just came out, and you have one before that,
a couple days ago.
Okay.
That's the first one in that series.
So they're releasing them very close to each other.
November. The Hearts of Montana came out in November, and then this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem that close, but...
I guess
finished writing this book a year ago, so
that's
it's taken
why.
A year
because
for it to come out, so it seems like a long time to me.
The wait is, I'm sure, a total pain. I can imagine, I don't know, but I can imagine that the wait between, you know, it being done and the editors are saying, okay, we're done cleaning it up and here comes your cover and all of that,
right.
And then when is it going to come out is like, killer. I don't know. It would really
be. It is, yeah.
Is
Which is part of why
part?
I like, that's why I like having the combination of the indie publishing and the traditional, is because I feel like while I'm waiting for the traditional stuff to happen, I'm working on the indie stuff in the middle.
So which ones are your indies, your page turners?
The page turners and the hockey books.
Okay. And then the others, the Hearts of Montana and the other ones are with Entangled.
With Entangled Publishing, and the page turners have a couple of little holiday novellas that they go with that go with them that are little side characters. My goal is that first book where she goes on the 6 blind dates. You know, one of those dates. I have ideas for taking some of those guys on those dates and giving them their own little holiday novellas.
Oh yeah, that sounds
so
cute.
Yeah. So they're all kind of tied together, but so I have a few novellas in there here and there.
Okay. So you stay busy in between your traditionally published, you're writing and getting ready and publishing your indie stuff. So this is what, when we talked about it before, this is why you call yourself a hybrid, because you are actually both. You're doing both.
I'm doing both. Yep.
you know, it's not a hybrid publisher where it publishes for you, but you actually still maintain your rights. It's more like you're actually doing both.
I do both, yes. I indie publish two of those series myself. So I have control over all of it. I hire my own, you know, I have editors that work for me. I have cover artists that I use. I love the Killian Group. Give them a little plug.
Yeah. There are lots of authors that use them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do those totally myself. I control all the days when they come out, and which is great because it does, traditional publishing takes a really long, long time. Mm-hmm. You know, from the time you sign till the time your book comes out is usually 10 to, you know, 12 or even 14, 15 months.
Right.
So it's nice having the other stuff in the middle, and that way you also have several different income streams.
Well, and do you feel like with your indie books that you have, I mean, it's, you kind of have more, I mean, though you have more ownership, definitely, because it's yours, but you have more control over, you know, the covers and the cover art and when it's going to come out. And, you know, just it's like you still are maintaining at least control over that portion of your life. Where traditionally you're like giving it up and saying, here it is, whenever y'all get it done. And they put you on a schedule.
The first book, the way the editing was a little bit of a, I really had to kind of, there was a lot of tears and some wine.
Yeah.
That first editing process. So,
you just gotta get
through
it.
A whole character, a character got cut out of that book.
Oh my
God. One of my favorite characters. And yeah, it was a lot of learning. It was a big learning curve. I'm a little bit better at it now and accepting edits and figuring stuff out. I still sometimes grumble a little or call my editor on the phone and say, what?
Well,
why
and that,
like this?
Right. And it probably gets easier too, because as you've grown as a writer, you've learned ways to, you know,
probably not have the
predict what they're going to, predict what they're going to say about certain things and change it before you send it on or whatever.
Yeah. And like the first one was so, you know, there was a lot that I was learning on that one. And I tended to take it a little bit more serious, you know, this is my baby and
personal.
Why are you doing this? And why don't you like me? And, you know, why do you hate me? Which, and like, for example, there was one part where I had this gal that was, you know, I put this little line about how she was wrangling a lap full of kittens. And my editor took that out. And I like messaged her and I was like, you know, this is kind of how they talk. I use a little bit of, I'm from a small town in Kansas. I lived in Montana. So I have a little bit of that, I don't want to say accent, but maybe the dialect or a little bit of that kind of small town speak. And I was like, you know, do you just not like the, you know, I thought that was so cute. You know, if you pass, you know, lap full of wrangling a lap full of kittens or a path full of kittens or something. And she was like, no, I thought that was, I said, did you just not like the way I said this or what's wrong? I'm taking it all personal. And she's like, no, I thought that was super cute. She just only had one cat. And so she was like, if you want to keep that line, add in another cat somewhere. Give her, you know, she'd only picked up one cat. Yeah, she's like, if you want to keep that line, have her pick up the other cat. So she was just, so I really had to kind of learn to not take stuff personal like that and realize that she just had been reading along and realized that my character only had one cat in her lap and I was giving her several that she hadn't picked up yet.
Oh, so, that's funny.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. Well, and that's what editors are for. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be a really, really hard lesson for most first writers to learn is that, you know, that's what they're there for, to catch those little inconsistencies and things like that. And, you know,
and
it's
I have
personal.
A wonderful relationship with my editor. And it's been what's really great about romance and romance writers and having all the conferences that we do. I've actually met her. I met her at a conference. She lives in Texas, and she drove through Colorado to go somewhere, and she stopped in my town and had breakfast with me. And
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we have enough of a relationship that we like each other, and so that's really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You're not just another person that's, you know, out there. You actually have a face and
right.
a personality, and they don't feel like, you know, you're just there to, you're just not just there to make them money. So that's good. And I really like the hybrid idea. I think more people are probably going to that because self-publishing has really picked up. So it's just something I've seen. I've seen a lot of really what I would consider, what is the word I'm looking for? Successful authors go all indie because they said, you know, I mean, I've been publishing these books for years through such and such, and I can make more money doing it this way. People already know who I am. They already read my books, and now they're making, you know, three or four times as much on indie publishing them themselves. So it's just more work. A lot more work,
right.
but you know, it's hard work that you can see the pay from right away. So that's a good thing too.
Right. The flip yeah. side of that is if you don't have all those books behind you, it's building a following. And I think that uh-huh. the more that indie publishing gets flooded with more and more writers, it is harder to get discovered. It's harder to, mm-hmm. you know, find that following
apart.
And find people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to set yourself apart from others somehow. You know, make your book stand out. Otherwise, I mean, I've seen some awful, awful, awful covers on books, but I knew the people, so I read them, and the book was great, but I would have never picked up that book ever.
Right.
You know, because they went with a cheap, you know, or they did it themselves or something. It was like, no, you need a professional cover artist. Or somebody whose story was really great, but they needed a really good editor. You know, it's like
right.
you really need to pay somebody, have professional editing done. And this could really go places.
Yeah. Those are my top three things that I always tell people. If you're going to indie publish, you need to put the money into a great cover, into editing services and formatting, and make sure that those are all, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to have those covered. So that's where... You know, I put the money and the effort and the time into those three pieces, and I'm so proud of my covers and what Kim Killian has done. And we've created them together, those page turner series. I find mm-hmm. the pictures, I tell her what I want, and my newest cover is so adorable. I found these heart-shaped handcuffs, and she, like, put them on the girl's hands.
Oh,
and
cute.
I found this poodle, and I was like, can you put this poodle, there's a poodle named Bruiser in the book, can you like put it on the cover? And all of my books have a dead body, like chalk outline dead body on the front of the page turner books.
Mm-hmm.
And she even found a way to put that on the beach one. And so having a good cover artist helps a lot. So.
Yeah, I agree. So what do you have? I mean, obviously you've got something in the pipe for several of your series. First of all, we're more than past the halfway mark. So let me put the number out. If anybody wants to call in to talk to Jenny Martz, it is 347-633-9609. And, there is she would like to give away a copy of one of her latest books. So you can call in and we'll talk, and, we'll let her pick somebody to take the book home or get it sent to you anyway. So back to what we were talking about, and oh, I'm about to sneeze. Sorry, I'm having like serious allergy attack here. If I sneeze,
okay.
I apologize in advance. So,
sorry.
So going back to I just don't know how you do the full time job and write four books a year. It's kind of blowing my mind. I'm sitting here trying to figure out where to squeeze in.
Well, I write part time.
Okay.
I work part time. I work
part time. Okay.
I work 2 or 3 days a week.
Well, that's
and then
better.
The
that's
way I do it is I have word count goals each week, and
mm-hmm.
I work well under pressure, evidently. And I have some writing partners that we do writing sprints.
Oh, okay.
And that's,
good.
Like, changed my life the last 6 months. So we actually set a timer, and we write like, we'll sometimes meet at a coffee shop and write at the same time, or we'll just write from home, but we set the timer, and then there's no checking social media, there's no checking your email, you're just, like, committed to
full-time writing during that time. Okay.
You know, 30, 45 minutes at a time, and then you're kind of held accountable, and when you get to that point where you go, huh, I wonder what I should write here, you just blaze through instead of saying, well, maybe I'll just go check Facebook for 30 minutes.
Right.
Until I figure it out.
Like the rest of us do.
Yeah. So that's really, really helped. And having those, you know, word count goals. And I've also changed from being a pantser to a plotter. So I used to fly by the seat of my pants, and now I plot my books out ahead of time. And so the best way to write fast is to know what you're going to write before you sit down to write.
So you found that plotting has helped you get it accomplished then?
Yes, very, very much so. And when you're writing that quickly, the story is always in your head. And so when you go to bed at night, you've already been working on it. So your mind is already kind of thinking about the next scene and what's going to happen and who they're going to talk to and what funny things they're going to say. And when you wake up in the morning, you know, you're constantly working on it. So you don't put a week in between it or 2 weeks in between it and then come back to it and have to put yourself back in the story. Like, you're in it the whole time.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, do you daydream at work then?
Well, tell my boss.
Yeah, I'm totally not in here. I'm off in my own little world of writing my book later. Yeah.
Actually, what's really fun at work is I will get ideas for people's names. Like, I will open up a checking account for someone and be like, wow, your name is so cool. Can I use that as a hero or heroine name in my book? And or something will happen. I had this lady give me a great book idea story. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I've found just I've got ideas just by having – I had a meeting at a coffee shop with some other ladies from my romance writers group, and we were meeting there to plan something, and we were just watching these other people, and we were like, what do you think they're talking about? Oh, they seem to be mad, and we came up with this whole story based on what they were doing, and we have no idea what they were talking about, but, yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was plausible, so we went with it.
Yeah, there you go.
But, yeah.
So you never know where an idea is going to come from.
Well, on that topic, do your story ideas come a lot from, obviously, from things that you run into in real life, media, or just anywhere?
Oh, I don't know. I like to write small town. You know, my newest book is Tangled Up in Tuesday, and it's got some stuff about, it's set in Colorado, and it's set in a small town in Colorado, and I live in Colorado Springs, which is right next to Manitou Springs, where we've been having some groundbreaking things happen here as far as recreational marijuana and having that. So that's actually in my book. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of those guys and done some research, and not research like that, like talk to people.
Hey, it's legal if you were. I wouldn't be.
Actually, a funny thing happened is I was getting my hair cut, and my hairdresser has been my hairdresser for like 4 years, and she loves to talk plots with me, and she's been through like this whole process with me. And she happened to be like one of the gals in the salon was a stripper who worked at a, well, they're called like pot bars or marijuana
pot bar
here.
Yeah.
And she told me, like, she gave me so much information. She told me everything about it, stuff that I would never have known, like that they don't serve alcohol in them and, you know, what it's like inside there. And so I actually got a lot of information from a stripper at my hair salon. But
and that sounds like a story in itself.
So if I do kind of pull sometimes, you know, there's a lot of funny things that happen, you know, and as my 82-year-old girl, and when they go undercover at the pot bar, she decides that she'll take one for the team, and but she won't inhale. So, you know, there's some of that using what's, you know, happening in life and around there. And like I said, we lived in Montana, and so there's pieces. I like to interject little personal pieces sometimes. So my mom and my grandma had a dress shop when I was growing up, and so I named the dress shop for, like, my grandma, you know, little pieces like that. I love interjecting little names or character names or names of stores or something that are a personal piece somewhere.
Yeah. You're a gift giver. It's like you, like you said about your stories, giving little gifts to people who, you know, stay with the series and later in books. It's like, you're a gift giver. You give lots of gifts. It's awesome.
I guess so.
So is there a topic that you would never, ever write about?
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
well, obviously,
I
mean,
know.
You ventured into the plot thing, so...
Yeah, I don't really like stuff with kids as far as, like, kidnapping or child molester, stuff like that. I don't really like that dark, gritty incest and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I like my stories to be light and funny and, you know, have a happy ending. They'll get emotional. I mean, the second Hearts of Montana book starts out with this gal's cousin dies and leaves her the 8-year-old son she's the guardian of, and the sheriff kind of goes in the hospital with her and helps her, and the family thinks that she shouldn't have him, and he's actually her son that she gave up by adoption, and she, you know, gave to her cousin to raise, and the dad is actually the sheriff, but he never knew.
Oh.
So there's, like, this, you know, small child who's the most adorable, heartbreaking, oh my gosh, you're just going to love him so much. You know, his parents died, so it's not that I won't put sad in there, but I don't want to ever write anything that, like, hurts kids. Or my books are described as funny, light, laugh out loud. They're not really ever described as angsty or dark or gritty or...
Yeah. So you like to, you want dark, you won't write the dark stuff. The psychological stuff, it's not any fun for you.
So, I mean, my newest book deals with domestic abuse. But I don't want to get too, and even when I have dead bodies, you know, I'm not, nobody's examining the corpse too closely.
Right.
You know,
not CSI.
No, well, there's a little CSI business in there. You know, they are mysteries. We have to talk about the dead body, but. No, there's no maggots or anything in there. nothing too graphic, I guess.
Yeah, nothing graphic about the smell of the contents of the stomach or anything. That's another one. I was really, really into, it's just totally lost it. Scarpetta.
Patricia Cornwell?
Yes.
Patricia Cornwell?
I
knew you were going
to
bring that.
I really was, but
scientist.
I'm telling you, I got so I don't know. It felt like I was getting desensitized to things, honestly. And I was like, I've got to take a step back and quit reading this stuff. I liked the detail. I really did. I enjoyed the detail. You could tell she really knew what she was talking about, you know, that it had been her profession. And but yeah, it was one of those things where I needed to go back to happy ending stuff because those were happy.
And I read
never
some of that stuff. Yeah, I've read Gone Girl and, you know, Girl on the Train, and, you know, I read some of that stuff, but.
I read them, but I break it up with a lot of love.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But I just kind of want people to, you know, one of my reviewers for Romancing the Ranger, she just said that, you know, when she finished reading that she kind of had to just stop and, like, blink because she didn't want to be out of the story. She was so in there with them that she didn't want the story to end. And that was in her review, that she had to just stop and kind of blink and realize, oh, I'm not in the state park in the mountains of Colorado with this sexy park ranger anymore.
Bummer. There's not more?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, and reading it on the Kindle, and you know there's all this extra stuff at the end, and you still think you got 10% left, and you get to the end, and you're like, no, that can't be it. No, I know that's the end, but it's not the end, right?
Yeah. That's why 10%. I love series.
Oh, yeah,
but I do
absolutely
love series where each story is its own book.
Right.
And so I like series where then the next one is another character, a secondary character, but you meet the other people again, they show up again.
Yeah, versus like a saga that keeps going.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Even though
I
love Janet, I don't know how she keeps Ranger and Morelli going for 20 some books. Like,
I don't either, but she sure sells them, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Sure sells them. So yeah, she's doing something right. I don't know. She's got such a huge fan base, and you know, I guess every writer could want that for themselves. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
So let's. We have about 8 minutes left, so I want to make sure that everybody knows where they can find you. You said you have a street team, so if anybody's into your cozy mysteries, that's a great place to go. Is that on Facebook?
It is on Facebook. You can find out about my street team on my website. And it's just for anybody. It's for all the books. That's just the one that it's called. So it's just
And your website is jennymartz.com. And that's J-E-N-N-I-E martz.com.
Yep.
No Y. And I think your Facebook was just at
Jenny
Martz
Books.
Okay.
Yep. And it's M-A-R-T-S, not
M-A-R-T-S. Right. Marks.
Yeah.
We all sound so great on the radio. But anyway, I know I don't pronunciate the letters very well, especially when I have a head cold like I have today. So I blame it on every tree around here having sex. They're all having sex, and it's terrible. Pornographic
like
trees.
Romance.
Yeah.
Even
our trees are
having relationships.
Yes, and the birds aren't helping them. They're spreading the pollen all over. It's just crazy. So, but anyway, before we go, tell us just real quick so Romance of the Ranger just came out this week, and you have another one that's set to release in, did you say November?
October is the next Hearts of Montana book.
Okay. And then?
And then I'm working on an anthology. It's going to come out this summer, Heroes and Heartbreakers.
Okay.
So that's just a novella with a group of other. And then the next book after Icing on the Date is called Playing Along. It's the next brother. And like I said, he's a rock star. And he meets a gal who, it's a fake fiancé story. So he has to pretend to be her fake fiancé. So the title is Playing Along, which is kind of plays off the music part and the pretending to be the fiance. So Playing Along should come out this summer. And then I'll be working on the next Paige Turner book, which should come out in the fall as well.
Okay. So you've got about 4 coming out before the end of the year. So you should have some very happy fans.
Yeah. Well, I have 12 out now. So if you haven't read me, you have plenty of time to catch up.
Get started. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show tonight, and I look forward to hearing about the rest of them. So be sure to, anytime you want, you can forward me the info, and I'll share it with our fans on the Librarian page.
Oh, wonderful.
All right. And if you, and I do have the other blog too, so anytime you want to be on there, you just let me know. We'll hook you up.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show tonight, and I hope things are all good in Colorado. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
Maybe the trees would be having sex there.
Snow tomorrow. Yeah.
No. Oh, my goodness. I have a daughter-in-law that lives in Colorado Springs, so yeah, she said it'd been pretty cold up there. So, okay. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on tonight, and I appreciate
it. Thank you for inviting me.
Look forward to hearing more from your book selection soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks so much. And guys, if you were listening, you can catch all the information on Jenny Martz's website. It's JennieMartz.com. And you can find all her social media links and her book list there as well. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And you can find me on Facebook at The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I'm on Twitter as HOT_Librarian_, Google Plus as Tabitha Pope. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website and right here at this link where you're listening to it right now. It'll turn into a podcast in about 5 minutes, so you can find it there as well. You can find Authors on the Air Global Radio Network online at authorsontheair.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and just about anywhere else you can think of in the social media universe. Thanks to everybody for sharing my love for romance tonight. And big spooches to my husband, who's out of town this week taking care of his mom, and to my wonderful 14-year-old daughter who's keeping my kiddo in the next room. You're awesome. You guys have a great evening, sweet dreams, and I'll see you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern on The Librarian.